When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, you guys know I am all about picking yourself up after being knocked down. I mean, never say die. That's so me, right? Winners never quit. Quitters never win. Blah, 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 blah. But if I left my job to start a company that never ended up getting off the ground, never got a single product off the assembly line, total disaster, never landed a single customer, lost all my investors' money, you know, I might crawl under the duvet with a huge bag of red vines and then hide for a really long time. But the same cannot be said for my guest today. Matt Meeker took that very experience, and instead of, you know, getting under the duvet and eating See's chocolate or whatever, he took it, he learned from it, he used it as fuel, and subsequently started not one, but two multi-million dollar startups, one of which, by the way, is now a publicly traded company that sells, are you ready, monthly subscription boxes based on your dog's needs and desires. How much do we love this? He is Matt Meeker, co-founder and CEO of Bark, which used to be Matt Bark Box, right?
That's correct. Yes. And BarkBox is still a product that we feature.
Right. And that's a subscription product, right?
That's right. Yep. Every month, our aim is to make your dog happy every month.
Well, we're loving this because I have a dog named Rosie, and we can't even reveal right now, because we will in a few minutes, the things that you do provide for dogs, but it's all custom, right?
Everything is custom. So everything we sell is designed by Bark and made by Bark, and everything is custom to the dogs that we serve. So they're all really unique and special individuals, and we try to treat them that way instead of just saying a dog is a dog.
And for our listeners, this is a multi-hundred-million-dollar company at the moment. So there is a huge story behind this. And to me, Matt, it's just as much a story of using failure as a jumping off point to success as it is a story of just, oh, I climbed, I put one foot in front of the other, and I kept going, and voila, I'm a CEO. But I really want to take it back to your beginning. I understand you grew up in a small town in Iowa, right? And you've always had this entrepreneurial spirit. The first glimpse of that coming when you ran poker games in elementary school? What the hell?
Well, we have a gambling streak throughout my family. So I probably learned to gamble before most people did. And yes, then brought that to school as a way to make a little extra cash. That's probably not the best story ever, but absolutely. Always looking for a product that I can offer to the people around me.
Well, it's also a gamble. Anytime you dive into starting a business, you are taking a huge gamble, not just with your own reputation and your money and your savings, but other people's money, right?
With other people's money, with, you know, the thing that weighs on me the most with the gamble is those employees, especially those early on who take a gamble on you. Mm-hmm. And then I feel this huge amount of responsibility for them and their families and their livelihoods. And wow, what if we're not successful? What if we don't make it? So that to me is the greatest pressure. Investors sort of, you're a number, and if you didn't make it, then right, that was already part of the equation.
Right. But it does take fortitude and a very strong stomach, for which you jumped into the first business that you began with, I'm sure, hopes and dreams of, yeah, we're going to be a success. Let's talk about that first business that ended up completely imploding.
Sure. Well, I jumped into that. I came to New York in the summer of 1997. I joined a digital ad agency obviously in the late 90s, early 2000s there, everybody was catching the entrepreneurial startup fever and saw a lot of examples of that. And then I was very fortunate coming out of that agency to partner with some great people who had access to the money and the resources and the connections and you name it. So it felt a bit like our company was born on third base, and we had big ambitious ideas and plans and wow, over an 18-month period, we did everything wrong, literally everything wrong. I'm happy to go into more of what everything is, but it was one mistake after another in terms of how would you go about starting a company.
Well, what was it that you were trying to sell and create, and what were the biggest things you got wrong?
The product we were making was, you have to sort of get in a time warp and go back. So this was,
I'm game.
March of 2000. So if you remember, there were no iPhones. The mobile device was, we had the cell phone, but what we really didn't have, at least in the US, was text messaging as a channel. Mm-hmm. Very difficult. You know, you're for the letter P, you're pushing the 7 key 3 or 4 times. And so nobody's using it. And what we wanted to establish in the US very quickly was a text messaging channel that everybody carried in their pocket. So we had created a device that was in the form factor of a credit card, the thickness or thinness of a credit card, and the exact measurements that you would think of, with an LCD window built into it and the ability to receive and send messages from that device. And we were trying to establish a new messaging channel, leveraging the existing text messaging infrastructure that's in the US and get ahead of any text messaging that might come in the future. So we would own the channel.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yes. And I failed to mention the device also could function as a credit card and
okay.
could be swiped at your local retailer. And while you pass through that local retailer, they could send you offers on the spot.
Coupons.
Because it had Bluetooth capability. So just accept the offer, go forward, swipe your card, and it's all handled. So we were, I remember very early on, one of my partners went to a conference and she sent back a very excited message that she had just been exposed to, in quotes, a BlackBerry, and how exciting that was. And so we were very early with very ambitious ideas,
right.
But, we obviously that doesn't exist. No, none of us are using that today.
But you never got to the assembly line to manufacture this thing? Why not?
Well, that gets into the series of decisions that we made or activities that we did. And I'd say that the couple big lessons, one was hire the right people for the stage of the company that you're at. And we, again, we were fortunate, or I guess in this case, not fortunate, but my partners had a lot of access to very, very powerful people. And, you know, there was no one we couldn't get to or recruit with a lot of credibility. And so when we put together a team, as any startup does, we recruited in the CMO from AT&T to be our CMO, and the COO was the COO at Citibank.
Wow.
And so on and so on and so on. And when you put those all on a slide, it looks like a really impressive dream team. But it's a group of people. I often say if we had been doing $1 billion of revenue, that group would have turned it into 10 really fast. But 0 to 1, very, very difficult for them.
Well, can I jump in here and ask you, is it because they were coming from such high positions in such major developed companies that when they got there, they were like, wait, what do you mean we don't have a water fountain or whatever? The basics, because startups, you're sitting on orange crates and you're sharing laptops, right? I mean, it's not easy.
Yeah. And the group of people we brought in were very, they were great people. And so I wouldn't say it was the creature comforts, but more the mindset of what do we need to get out the door? How do we prove this is actually a product that will work and people will accept in their day-to-day lives? Mm-hmm. And I believe their bar was just so high as to how great it must be before it meets the customer and how everything has to be tied out perfectly. Mm-hmm. For me, another lesson in that is your plans don't mean a thing until the product meets a customer. And that's when you really start to learn what you've got. And the work is in listening to them and adapting to their feedback and making it better and better. But if you don't put anything in their hands, you'll never learn. And we never put a product in anyone's hands.
And then you pick yourself up after losing millions in investor capital, right? And the whole mm-hmm. thing implodes and you decide, let me try this again. It's almost like that in Animal House. Thank you, sir. May I have another? You went back for more beatings. This is unbelievable. So you decide, let me start a new company. That was called Meetup, right?
That's right. Yes. I didn't know what else to do.
And Meetup is sort of like an early WeWork, right? In fact, it was later bought by WeWork for lots of money. Tell me about building that one.
Yeah, Meetup was very early in the social media building. And what we were trying to do and did was we wanted people to come together online and say they had an interest and then go out in the real world and meet other people who share that interest. Mm-hmm. And again, big undertaking at that point in history where it was a very scary thing to be told, go meet a stranger who you just connected to on the internet. That was a no-no. And so we were trying to build a structure around that to make it okay. Part of the inspiration there was what we were seeing in New York at that time, following 9/11, being strangers on the street actually talking to each other, saying,
yes,
how are you? And
they
meant it. They meant like, how are you? And other having real conversations. It was such a powerful feeling. We were trying to build something that said, how can we have this everywhere where people come together with strangers and get to know their neighbors and share their life experiences and the things they're passionate about. And that's worked out very, very well for the company.
Well, sure. And once you sold it, you had a lot of money in your hot little hands. You could have, I don't know, not climbed under a duvet, but you could have sat on a beach. And yet you didn't.
No. No, I'm not a... I've tried to sit on a beach a couple times.
Just doesn't happen. Well, people like you are a different breed of... I'm not going to say cat. I'm going to say dog. And you had at that point a Great Dane named Hugo. What happened that changed and rocked your entrepreneurial spirit when it came to Hugo?
It's the same feeling with Meetup as with Bark. And I think I'm like many, many other people out there. I'm like you and everyone out there always has an idea of, wouldn't it be cool if this existed, or wouldn't this be a great product or a service or an idea? I have them all the time, and everyone does. Every now and then, I guess a couple times in my life here, there's one that grabs a hold and just doesn't let go. Mm-hmm. And it says, you've got to do this. You have to do it. And in this case, Hugo is the thing that's grabbing a hold of me and pulling, saying, don't you want me to be happy? I mean, none of these pet stores in New York are stocking their shelves waiting for a Great Dane to come in. They're just not. So,
oh, yeah, because everybody in New York has little dogs. This is Everyone Talks to Liz, and we'll be right back. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Klayman. Just go to Indeed.com/Klayman right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Klayman. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Okay, right. I don't mean to sound denigrating, but I love big dogs. I'm a big dog person. And you're right, because everyone lives in apartments and there isn't a lot of space, it is a rare thing to see a Great Dane.
It is. And so I was just disappointed by the offerings, and I was on the lookout constantly for something for a Great Dane or a large dog, and coming up empty.
You're talking about toys? What are you talking about?
Toys, treats, anything fun. And so usually those trips ended with me taking home a $12 bully stick. I'm sure Hugo is very happy with that setup, but I wanted more. And so from there it was, well, let's put something together where we curate products that are for dogs, and let's have three assortments, one for a large dog, one for medium, one for small, and send those out and see how people respond to it. And they responded really well.
How did you know? I mean, when did you know this is actually going to work?
It's really funny. So when we first had the idea or the concept, my partner, Henrik, very quickly made a design of what a homepage would look like for a website. And he sent it to me and I put it on my phone. And then just meeting people every single day, I'd take it out and I'd show them and I'd say, hey, look at this. What do you think of this? And the first sign for me that you're onto something is that someone smiles. They're not faking it. There will be plenty of people who will just be encouraging and say, oh yeah, it's really good. But The smile before any statement tells you a lot. So seeing people light up about it was a great signal. What I then normally would hear was, that's great. When it's live, let me know and I'll get one. And okay. After a few weeks, while I appreciated that answer, I didn't necessarily believe it. So after a few weeks, I started to carry a Square device with me. And when someone would say that, I'd plug it into my phone. I'd say, it's live, swipe your card. And that's when you find out for real if people really like it or what are the objections. And some people would say, I don't even have a dog. So one gentleman who I'm friends with today said, I don't even have a dog. And I said, you know people with dogs. Buy two of them. So he did.
Oh my gosh. So you're curating these things and it starts off as similar to, you know, Stitch Fix or BarkBox. It's curated to the specific kind of dog, which is very, I like to call it Generation C, Generation Customized, which of course Starbucks started when you can actually, well, was it Hold the Pickle, Hold the Lettuce, right? Burger King, they customized burgers. But I'll tell you, you know, these things aren't cheap. So what was your price point where you realized this is going to work at this price point?
Well, we started at $25. And one of our fun tales from the early days and sort of how we feel today, we started at $25 a month and we would hear from people, well, it costs too much. The price is too high. And we took that very seriously. We talked about it a lot. We thought, is the price too high, really? we're putting good stuff in here. And then we decided to respond to those people saying, it's not too high. You just don't love your dog enough for this product.
Oh, snap.
and we kind of meant it. And, but we then came up with the idea of offering, I'll tell you what, let's work on this together. If you commit to a longer period of time, then we'll give you a lower price.
Okay.
And we still have that structure in place today. And so you can get a BarkBox today for as low as $20. Here we are 11 years later.
I'm loving what you guys are now offering at the moment, a Stranger Things themed dog box. Okay, what would be in it that my dog would want that has something to do with the show Stranger Things, which I love, by the way?
Well, the Stranger Things part is for you, for your excitement and enthusiasm. And the toys and the treats are for your dog. And we really view this as a shared activity. You know, one way we talk about this is we say it's a Broadway show in a box, and we deliver that show every month, and we've got to put on a good show. But then it's something that you do with your dog, which there aren't many things that you get to do together. And so we want you to light up and enjoy it and think what we've designed around Stranger Things or the Jurassic Bark collection that came out earlier in the month or any of those are exciting because we believe your dog will see you get excited and then they'll get excited and then you see them and it goes round and round and it becomes a really fun thing.
I see endless possibilities. The Yellowstone Bark Box. I mean, can you imagine a little toy cow that they can chew on? You have now actually begun partnerships with, it's almost like the chicken nugget Happy Meal toys. You have partnerships with everyone from Stranger Things to Jurassic Park. Talk to me about your Jurassic Park box, or is that even what it's called?
Or Jurassic Bark, yes. so a little spin on that. We will take inspiration from the Jurassic world and our incredible team of toy designers and storytellers then get to work on it. So you've got, you know, the thing on the end of the guy's cane, the DNA with the mosquito, you've got a toy that's, it's like a ball, but you got the mosquito in the
amber. I remember
Thank
that.
You.
Yes.
Yeah. You've got the raptor, as a toy. And I got to say my favorite, it's for our super chewers. Is a giant dinosaur egg. And I mean, it's a giant thing and it really, really, it's a hard shell on it. And so I don't know how any dog could, there's no way a dog could destroy it. It's huge and durable and like the coolest toy ever. So I love the dinosaur egg with Jurassic Park.
Oh, gosh. And I'm sure one day you'll be able to manufacture an egg where the Triceratops jumps out of it and the dog will be thrilled. But
we have something. We invented a couple of things. So we think about the toy all the way through.
Okay.
So one thing we created a few years ago was a concept of a toy in a toy. So for those dogs that destroy a toy, they rip it apart. When they get inside, they find another one.
Oh, that's genius.
Yeah. So our most popular is a cactus named Consuela, and she's happy on the outside, but sad on the inside because it's complicated. So that's one thing. Also, we put squeakers in the toys, like many dog toys, but ours, when you get there, it will tell the dog that they've won. That the game is over and that they have won the game.
Oh, that's so cute. And I'm just loving the idea of the Stranger Things box because, you know, there's a Demogorgon toy in there. And for fans like me of that show, I need to see my dog chewing on that. It's just the cutest thing.
Yes. And there will be more licensing opportunities coming up that are pretty exciting.
Well, to me, the possibilities are endless. You've got Disney, you've got all kinds of cartoons that are out there. And I don't know, I just think this is amazing. And in the end, this has been a journey for you. So tell me, for all the people listening, what you would say was the number one thing you learned from the first very big failure that has brought you today to running a publicly traded company?
Ooh, the one thing, that's hard, but I do think it goes back to get the product into the customer's hands as quickly as you can and let them tell you, let them give you that feedback as to how they feel about it. You don't have to accept all of it, but you've got to start the conversation with them as quickly as you can.
And dive in and tune out all the naysayers, right?
Yes.
How many people told you nobody's going to spend $20 on their dog every month? I'm sure you heard that a lot.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. I mean, even for my own family.
Thank you, Mom, for the support.
That's right.
What a great story. I really appreciate you sharing it with our listeners. It's so great to meet you, Matt. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Matt Meeker of Bark. And, oh, God, you guys, he had an idea. Do you understand this? And you heard him say it. It grabbed him and it wouldn't let go. I know there's something like that within you. And I hope you take all of our stories here on Everyone Talks to Liz and take them, get them in your jaws like a dog would with a little chew toy and run with it and don't let go. Thank you so much for tuning in. And as always, I'll see you Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Claim and Countdown on Fox Biz. Miss you guys. Take care.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.